My sisters and I remember that winter as the coldest of our childhood. A temporary poverty had settled upon our family some years before. The war had made fuel and lamp oil scarce. But necessity is indeed the mother of invention. Somehow, in that dark time, our family, the March family, seemed to create its own light.
Mommy! Mommy's home! Mommy!
Mommy! Mommy!
We waited and waited! We've been expectorating you for hours!
You
expecting, Featherhead.
Oh, Marmy, you're frozen.
Yes, if you could see the people lined up outside of Hope House in this bitter cold. Mm, your cheeks are so warm.
Thank you, Cricket. Have you finished the Christmas bundles?
So many this year. We were handing out... how is your cold?
Better.
That's good. We were handing out food as quickly as we could make up the baskets. Now, Miss Amy, what is this in my pocket?
Father! My dearest family, I am well and safe. Our battalion is encamped on the Potomac.
December makes a hard, cold season for all of us so far from home. I think of my girls day and night and find my best comfort in your affection. I pray that your own hardships will not be too great to bear. Give them all my dear love and a kiss. Tell them I think of them by day. Pray for them by night.
I'm a selfish girl.
Oh, little one. It's Christmas Eve. Father wouldn't want us to be sad now.
In heaven the bells are ringing. Ding dong, merrily the sky is riven with angels singing. Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis.
Miss Amy.
It's
Merry Christmas.
Below.
Merry Christmas.
Steeple bells be slumming. And the yo yo yo.
Merry Christmas.
By Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, love.
Love you.
I love you.
Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis.
My Joe. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Marvin.
Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis.
And don't sit up too late.
I won't.
Your mat and shiny ringers, may you beautifully rhyme. Your eve-time song, ye singers.
Late at night, my mind would come alive with voices and stories and friends as dear to me as any in the real world. I gave myself up to it, longing for transformation.
Oh, what miraculous food. Isn't this just like the old days, Hannah?
Oh. Shouldn't eat it. We should just look at it.
I'm going to eat it.
Joe? Joe, come down!
I'm awake, horrible piano.
Hannah's put together an absolute Christmas miracle.
Was that sausage?
Wait.
Butter! Oh, isn't butter divinity? Oh, God, thank you for this breakfast.
Joe, Angel, fetch your mommy. She went out at the crack of dawn to see some Germans.
Hubble, the boy said. Not a word of English. His dad's gone.
6 children, and she's about to issue another. May as well take him a stick of firewood. Sure, they haven't got any. Or breakfast either.
Perhaps we could send the Hummels our bread. Might as well send the butter, too. Butter's not much use without bread to put it on.
Don't you wish you could roll about in it like dogs?
Once one of our finest families.
Lovely weather for a picnic.
Come along, Theodore. We'll be late for church.
Them speak first. What do they think of us?
Oh, don't look back.
Here we come, a-wassailing among the leaves so green. And here we come, a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wants and too.
And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year.
Knights and ladies, elves and pages, monks and flower girls all mingled gaily in the dance. Pauline cried out in horror as her bridegroom's mask fell, disclosing not her lover Ferdinand, but the face of his sworn enemy, Count Antonio. "Revenge is mine," quoth he. Continued in the following edition.
Excellent installment, Mr. Snodgrass.
Oh, I love forbidden marriages.
You ought to publish it, Joe, really, not just in the Pickwick portfolio.
Mr. Tupman, are you demeaning our fine newspaper?
Mr. Winkle.
One Periwinkle sash belonging to Mr. N. Winkle has been absconded from the wash line. Which gentleman desires any reports leading to its recovery?
Gentlemen of the press, hear, hear. I call to your attention our Mr. Tupman's The History of a Squash.
Oh, don't read mine.
Beth, this isn't a store, it's a recipe.
Dear, I never know what to write.
First rule of writing, Mr. Tupman, is never write what you know. What do we think of the boy? Is he a captive like Smee and Nicholas Nickleby?
He looks lonely. You don't think he'll try to call?
Maybe he has a secret. A tragic European secret.
Well, he's had no upbringing at all, they say. He was reared in Italy among artists and vagrants.
Doesn't he have a noble brow? If I were a boy, I'd want to look just like that. Imagine giving up Italy to come live with that awful old man.
Oh, Joe, please don't say awful. It's slang.
I'd be terrified to live with him.
I shouldn't mind living in such a fine house and having nice things.
Oh, it doesn't seem like Christmas this year without presents.
I'm desperate for drawing pencils.
I wish I didn't have to work for Great Aunt March, that crabby old miser.
And you, Beth? What's your Christmas wish?
I'd like the war to end so Father can come home.
Oh, sweet Beth.
You all want that. You do have a beautiful piano.
Wait till I'm a writer. I'll buy you the best piano in creation.
If she doesn't, you can come over and play mine. When I marry, I'm going to be disgustingly rich.
And what if the man you love is a poor man, but good like Father?
Well, it isn't like being stuck with the dreadful nose you get. One does have a choice to whom one loves.
A lovely nose.
Well, I wouldn't marry for the money. I mean, what if his business goes bust? Besides, down at the Eagle, they pay $5 for each story they print. Why, I have 10 stories in my head right now.
Gentlemen, I dislike all this money talk. It isn't refined.
Well, if lack of attention to personal finances is a mark of refinement, then I'd say the Marches are the most elegant family in Concord.
We'll all grow up someday, Meg. We might as well know what we want.
That'll do, that'll do. Put the carriage away and look smart about it.
Very good, sir.
Merry Christmas.
I have the most wonderful feeling about tonight.
Meg and Joe, you have to tell me exquisitely everything about Belle Gardner. What her nose looks like and about her ring. Annie Gardner says it's an emerald. Can you imagine? Everyone's lucky but me.
I'm glad I don't have to go and be with all those frightening people and try to think of things to say.
Hush now.
Oh, mind you, Joe. Don't eat much at supper. And don't shake hands with people. It isn't the thing anymore. Joe, your dress.
Oh, I know.
Oh, you always stand too close to the fire. Oh, dear. Well, just keep your backside to the wall.
Meg, look. What cunning little heels.
They're rather small.
That's all right. It's only for one night. You don't suppose anyone will notice they came out of the rag bag, do you?
You have to have heels. Oh. What's that strange smell? Like burnt feathers.
Oh, heavens above!
You've ruined me!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You shouldn't have had me do it. I spoil everything. I can't go out like this.
Well, good. I'm not going either.
Here. We'll place my bow in front.
Yes, that covers it.
It's very becoming, Meg.
I'll never have any suitors. I'll just be a dried-up old spinster.
You don't need scores of suitors. You only need one, if he's the right one.
Listen to the child.
Meg isn't going to be married right away, is she? With Joe's help, I never will. Oh, you must be so happy.
Oh, well, it's enchanting. Well, I best go and help my mom. Excuse me.
Bad hiding place. You see, I don't know anyone, so I feel awkward just standing and staring at people. Should I put on my jacket?
Oh,
I never know the rules here. I'm Laurie. Theodore Lawrence, but I'm called Laurie.
Joe March. So, who are you staring at?
You, actually. What game were you playing?
I don't know, but I think I won. Who else?
I was quite taken with that one.
That's Meg. That's my sister. She's completely bald in front.
Is it true that you lived in Italy among artists and vagrants?
My mother was Italian, a pianist. Grandfather disapproved of her.
Truly? I saw a play like that once. Do you like the theater?
Oh, yes.
Were you born there?
Where? In Italy.
Do you speak French or Italian?
English at home. Francais à l'école, the music conservatory in Vevey. But grandfather's having me tutored now. He insists I go to college.
Oh, I'd commit murder to go to college. Actually, I'm going to Europe. Well, at least I hope I am. My great aunt March says she'll go one of these days, and she has to take me with her because I work as her companion. I have to read to her for hours and hours, but I do all the voices.
I'll bet you do.
If I weren't going to be a writer, I'd go to New York and pursue the stage. Are you shocked?
Very.
I'm sorry, Meg always makes me take the feminist part at home. It's a shame you don't know the ladies'
that, honestly.
You promised you wouldn't look.
Oh, Joe. Joe, I've sprained my ankle.
I shouldn't wander in those shoes. Does it hurt?
Oh, no, no. I'm quite well, thank you. This is our neighbor, Laurie, the captive. Oh, poor Meg. I'll go tell Mrs. Gardner.
Oh, no, Joe. She'll think I've been sampling the punch. A perfectly good party ruined.
Well, I have my carriage. Let me take you home.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Here, lean on me. Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. That's very kind of you.
Not at all.
Goodbye, Laurie.
Good night, Mrs.
Marsh. Wherever did you get this shoe?
Did you ride in his carriage? Oh, you two have all the luck. Oh, Joe, was he very romantic?
Not in the slightest.
Well, we're very much obliged to him, but he's a dreadful boy.
Well, he did a good deed putting snow on this ankle.
He put snow on your ankle?
Too bad, Miss Amy.
With his own hands?
Oh, stop being so swoony.
I won't have my girls being silly about boys. Too bad. Joe, dear, does this hurt?
Everything lovely happens to Meg.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You mustn't be soppy about Laurie any more than you should be soppy about those silly girls at school. I hope we shall be good friends with him.
With a boy?
He isn't a boy. He's Laurie.
Your young ladies are unusually active, Mrs. March, if I may say so.
You may indeed, Mr. Brooks. It is my opinion that young girls are no different than boys in their need for exertion. Feminine weakness and fainting spells are the direct result of our confining young girls to the house bent over their needlework and restrictive corsets. Your young student is an athlete.
He is, thank you, a good one. But he makes an unruly scholar. I regret that his grandfather is away much. One hopes that your girls will be a gentling influence.
Indeed, Mr. Buck.
No!
Marley, must you speak to everyone about corsets?
Oh, Meg. Do I?
Blast these wretched skirts!
Don't say blast and wretch.
Amy, don't be such a ninny pinny.
I wish it was Beth so I could stay home and do pleasant things.
Oh, if you call doing laundry and housework pleasant.
Blast!
Amy, hurry, I'll be late for work.
And there's Mrs. King. I'm tardy again.
Lovely children.
Oh, Meg, must I go to school? I'm so degraded. I can hardly hold my head up. I owe at least a dozen limes.
Limes?
Are limes the fashion now?
Of course they are. It's nothing but limes now. Everyone keeps them in their desks and trades them for beads and things. Mm-hmm. And all the girls treat each other at recess. If you don't bring limes to school, you're nothing. You might as well be dead. I've had ever so many limes and I can't pay anyone back.
Well, no wonder you don't learn anything at that school.
I know how it feels to do without any little luxuries.
Meg!
But we are not destitute. Not yet. Here's a quarter. Marmy gave me the rag money this month. Go on.
Secondly, the immortality of the soul is asserted to be in consequence of its immateriality, as in all lipothymic cases, consistent with the idea of immortality. And immorality and physicality, and I think you finally.
Thank you.
catch a draft.
Is it Father?
Teacher struck me. He put the lines out into the snow. May Chester said my lines must have been donated to Hope House. And then I said that she wouldn't get a single line from me. And then she told Mr. Davis they were hidden in my desk. And then he struck me.
We ought to go over there and beat the tar out of him with his own stick.
Joe, you must not embrace violence. No, I will write this man a letter.
A letter? That'll show him.
You failed to mention to me they were forbidden. A whole month's rag money? Amy, I shouldn't have given it to you.
I'm sorry. All those lovely lines. I'm perfectly desolated.
Well, I'm not sorry you lost them. It's a frivolous concern in times like these. You are more intent upon reshaping your dear little nose than in fashioning your character.
It's an appalling school. Your spelling's atrocious. Your Latin absurd.
Mr. Davis said it was as useful to educate a woman as to educate a female cat.
I really must strangle Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis. What right have you to strike a child? In God's eyes, we are all children and we are all equals. If you hit and humiliate a child, the only lesson she will learn is to hit and humiliate. Amy, do you think you can discipline yourself to learn at home as Beth has done? I withdraw my daughter Amy from your school.
Serves the scoundrel right.
Joe will now supervise your education.
Joe, tell me what happens next, after the Duke turns his back on his family fortune and saves Lady Zara.
Don't know. It's all murder and gore. The damsel's in distress.
Oh, I love your damsel's in distress.
Oh, Beth, truly, I don't know if I could ever be good like Marmy. I rather crave violence. If only I could be like Father and go to war and stand up to the lions of injustice.
And so Mommy does in her own way.
Yes. But I want to do something different. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm on the watch for it.
You will find it, Joe.
Hello! Joe! Come over here! You too, Meg. Stella's tombs around here.
Mr. Lawrence, one doesn't shout at ladies as if they were cattle.
My apologies.
What do those girls do over there all day?
Over the mysteries of female life, there is drawn a veil, best left undisturbed.
Countess, pray for me, for I have sinned against myself and me brother Roderigo.
You've got to say sinned as if you've really sinned.
Sinned. Sinned.
Roderigo, you arrive seeking the Duke of Lancashire.
Harky, who goes there?
Oh, I forgot the symbols. Why, it's Roderigo. Roderigo.
I want to be Lady Violet. Mm. I'm a
exhausted of being the boy.
The play is the thing, Amy. You're too little to be Lady Violet.
Here, be the Countess de Montanescu.
You don't have any lines.
Besides, who would be our Roderigo?
Gentlemen, I propose the admission of a new member to our theatrical society. Theodore Lawrence. We'll put it to a vote.
Nay, he'll laugh at our acting and poke fun at us later.
He'll think it's only a game.
He won't, upon my word, as a gentleman.
Joan, it's only ladies. We don't guard our conduct in the same way.
We bare our souls and tell the most appalling secrets.
He would find us improper.
Oh, Teddy would do nothing of the sort. Oh, please. Let's try him, shall we?
Fellow artists, may I present myself as an actor, a musician, and a loyal and very humble servant of the club.
Oh, we'll be the judge of that.
In token of my gratitude and as a means of promoting communication between adjoining nations, shouting from windows being forbidden, I shall provide a post office in our hedge to further encourage the bearing of our souls and the telling of our most appalling secrets. I do pledge never to reveal what I receive in confidence here.
Well then, do take your place, Roderigo.
Sir!
Roderigo. And so Laurie was admitted as an equal into our society, and we March girls could enjoy the daily novelty of having a real brother of our very own.
I want to go to the theater. I never get to go anywhere.
You're too little, Beth. Wear a tarnation or Mommy's opera glasses.
I'm not too little. You're just hogging Laurie. Please, can't I go?
Oh, Amy, I'm afraid Laurie only reserved 4 seats. Do I look too shabby?
Oh, Jehoshaphat, Meg, this isn't a coronation. It's just Laurie and that awful Mr. Brooke.
Joe, can't you ask Teddy to get another ticket?
No.
You have a cold, dear. Rest your eyes.
Evangeline and I will make you some ginger tea.
You're weeks behind in algebra. Now, I want you to do all the pages that I've marked. I won't have a sister who's a lazy ignoramus. And don't sulk. You look like a pigeon.
You'll be sorry for this, Joe March.
Whoa! Whoa there.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Mrs. Nell Watson, wasn't she a wonderful swooner? If only I were the swooning type.
If only I were the catching type.
Young Lawrence informs me that you are an aficionado of the theater, Miss Watson.
Well, I enjoy reading plays.
Yes, I find it most pleasurable myself. Though I confess I'm distracted at the theater, thinking of the peculiar lives of the actors themselves. When one considers the immodesties Mrs. Nell Watson suffers, one wonders what sort of lady would seek such a life.
Meg is a sensational actress. We're always putting on wild theatricals.
Oh, it's just something that we play at.
Well, as a matter of fact, at school, I engaged in debate.
What do you think of that?
Let's
see what they do.
Far too flattered by your attention to even hear the arguments.
I had a wonderful time, Mr. Brooke.
Yes, did I? It was a most delightful evening, and I very much liked it.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Oh, good night.
Good night.
That was rude.
Plastered yourself on him.
It's proper to take a gentleman's arm if it's offered.
How was the theater? Amusing.
It was wonderful. I was absolutely inspired by the love scene.
You look flushed, Meg, dear. Was the theater overcrowded?
Still sulking.
Great loss, and you have every right to be put out. But don't let the sun go down upon your anger. Forgive each other. Begin again tomorrow, huh?
I will never forgive her.
You walked all the way from Walden Pond and only these bloomers?
As if she even noticed. Dear Amy,
how could I have been so horrible? Thank God for Laurie.
Joe, do you love Laurie more than you love me?
Oh, don't be such a beetle. I could never love anyone as I love my sisters.
I'm not a beetle. Oh, look out. You're leaving out the best part. When Lady Zara succumbs to the Duke's wrath.
Oh, right, yes. Sir Hugo.
I quite prefer him myself.
In the spring, we turned Orchard House upside down with preparations for Meg to attend Sally Moffat's coming out. Myself, I'd sooner have been hung by the neck than attend a fancy ball.
Wait till all of Boston sees you in this dress, Meg.
I told Laurie as to show you off and keep you from being a wallflower upon penalty of death. Oh, where is that miserable glove?
Abigail, I shake my head at the way you're managing Margaret. How is she to be married without a proper debut?
Now, Auntie, in our present circumstances...
Your circumstances will not change with your husband's return. My nephew is as foolish with money as he is in his new philosophies. The one hope for your family is for Margaret to marry well. Though I don't know who marries governesses.
Marmy?
And this one has entirely ruined her disposition with books. Oh, are those for me, Josephine?
No, Meg's taking them to the Moffats. Marmy, Meg's frantic. She lost her glove and she only has one pair.
Now, she cannot go without gloves. The Moffats are society.
You're absolutely correct. Tell Meg she may borrow mine.
Meg! You can take Marmy's!
Oh, dear. Oh.
More tea?
No, thank you.
Sally Moffat, you won't be able to draw your laces. At my coming out party, I didn't eat for weeks beforehand.
Oh, Meg, I do like that color on you.
It's just like forget-me-nots. The nicest I've seen that kind of fabric since the war broke out. But you had it made up so plain.
Oh, well, I do my own sewing and...
Mrs. Finster's on Charles Street carries silk pieces ready-made. Tomorrow, I'll take you there.
Marchers haven't bought silk in years. They have views on slavery. Meg, isn't it true that your father's school had to close when he admitted a little dark girl?
The silk at Mrs. Finster's isn't milled in the South. It's made right here, over in Linfield.
This isn't China silk? They use little children for labor. All the silk mills do.
The poor are always with us. You are so good to remind us. May I tell you something?
This is an afternoon dress.
I'm going to make you my pet.
Hortense, oui, mademoiselle?
Bien, ici.
Tonight, Miss March shall have as many conquests as she likes.
You have no corset.
No, I believe the next dance is the polka with me.
Well, I would dance with you, Mr. Parker, but I fear for my new slippers. My credo is, don't tread on me.
Miss March, I thought your family were temperance people.
Laurie.
No, don't cover up. There may be one or two gentlemen here who haven't seen all of your charms. I did promise Joe I would show you off.
Girls dressed me up, and I rather like it.
That's when it reveals a whole new Meg. What do you call this?
Please don't tell Joe how I've behaved.
Of course not. If you won't tell anyone how I've behaved.
I was only playing a part. To see how it felt to be Belle Gardner with 4 proposals and 20 pairs of gloves.
You're worth 10 of those other girls.
Did you see the way this March girl has gone after the Lawrence heir?
Best thing that could happen to the Marches.
This ridiculous dress. I've been tripping over it all night.
Tie some of it around your neck where it can do you some good.
I don't like people speculating about Laurie and our Meg as if they were characters in some play.
And nothing provokes speculation more than the sight of a woman enjoying herself.
Why is it Laurie may do as he likes and flirt and tipple champagne?
And no one thinks the less of him? Well, I suppose for one practical reason. Laurie is a man, and as such, he may vote and hold property and pursue any profession he pleases. And so he is not so easily demeaned.
Why should anyone care what they think?
I do. It's nice to be praised and admired. I couldn't help but like it. Of course not. I only care what you think of yourself. If you feel your value lies in being merely decorative, I fear that someday you might find yourself believing that's all that you really are. Time erodes all such beauty. But what it cannot diminish is the wonderful workings of your mind, your humor, your kindness, and your moral courage. These are the things I cherish so in you. I so wish I could give my girls a more just world, but I know you will make it a better place.
Rose resounded with song of the nightingale. The gush.
No, I don't want them now. And keep the music. I won't be going near a piano for ages.
You need your books in college. Here's your Dombey and Sons. I could have sworn there was another volume.
Honestly, Joe, I won't be taking all of Dickens to Harvard with me.
Oh, no. You'll have much more important things to read.
Nothing's going to change, Joe.
I wish I could go.
I wish you could, too.
You'll come back knowing all sorts of things I don't know, and then I'll hate you.
Oh. Well, as it happens, I already know something you don't know. About Meg and a certain former tutor of mine, soon to be employed at the firm of Lawrence and Lawrence.
Liar.
Has Meg mislaid a certain personal article, such as a glove?
Meg, John Brooks stole your glove.
What glove? Not my white one.
Brooks had it forever. Laurie says he keeps it in his pocket. You must tell him to return it. Hannah, don't you think he ought to give it back?
It isn't what I think that matters.
Joe, Meg. It's a telegram from Washington Hospital. Your father's been wounded.
Well, come on, Amy. That's
it. There are six. The household account is in this ledger. It should see you through to the end of the month.
Of course, don't worry about us.
Oh, Beth? Dear, look in on the Hummels for me, will you?
I will, Mommy.
Where's Joe? It's almost six.
Doing battle with Aunt March from Army's railway ticket?
Amy, would you carry a letter to Mrs. Jerba?
John. Mr. Brook.
I've come to offer myself as an escort to your mother. Yes. Cook packed us up, and Grandfather sends a bottle of spirits for Mr. March.
Oh, lovely boy. Thank you.
Army, Mr. Brook is here.
Mrs. March.
Mr. Brook.
As young Lawrence no longer requires a tutor, Mr. Lawrence has commissions for me in Washington. I should like to be of service to you there. We couldn't let you travel alone.
Oh, Mr. Brook, how kind of you.
May I?
Thank you.
Are we to go on the 6 o'clock train?
Yes, I sent Jo off, but she hasn't returned.
I'm here.
Oh, Jo, finally.
25? Can Aunt March spare this?
I couldn't bear to ask her. I sold my hair.
Jo, how could you? You're one beauty.
This isn't going to affect the State of the Union. It'll grow back.
Suits you. We'll tell Father that we love him.
Tell him we pray for him.
He'll bring you home. I'll never forget his kindness.
Oh, Anna, thank you. Oh, I shall miss my little women.
Thank you.
thinking about Father.
My hair.
Anyway,
there's no more cornmeal nor coffee.
The grocer won't let us have any more on account. What can I bring the Hummels?
Oh, fry the Hummels. You spent hours there last week.
The boys are sick.
I mustn't write of this to Marmy. She has enough burdens now.
I hate money.
Your potatoes!
Dank, dass du hier bist. Wo ist denn deine Mutter? Ich brauche Ihnen Medizin. Wo ist denn die Mutter? Wir sind alle so schrecklich krank hier. Fitz und Emil.
Ich muss gehen.
Wir müssen zum Arzt hin. Wo ist denn deine Mutter?
Bitte.
Hier, guck mal, zieh mal das Kind. Zieh mal ihren Kopf. Guck mal ihren Kopf hier an, wie krank sie ist. Kannst du es nicht sehen? Wo ist deine Mutter denn? Wir brauchen die Medizin. Wir sind alle krank hier. Kann sie das nicht sehen, dass wir krank sind? Guck mal, das Kind verbrennt mir hier vor meiner Augen.
Need of funds, no doubt. He'd have a week's groceries with what he spends on billiards.
Oh, Josh, Fett.
Meg! Meg, you won't believe it! I've sold The Lost Duke of Gloucester! $5 whole! I'm an author! Beth?
The Hummel baby is sick. So strange.
She's burning up, but she says that she's freezing. She has a terrible thirst, but she won't drink.
Sounds like arsenicum, but she looks more like Belladonna.
I saw the Hummels. Two children taken up to Jesus. Scarlet fever. You and Miss Jo won't be harmed. You had it when you were babies. But Miss Amy, we have to send you away.
She won't die. Will she, Laurie? God wouldn't let her die. I don't want to go away.
I'll come and see you every day. I swear it. You won't be alone.
I'm afraid of Aunt March.
If she's unkind to you, I'll come and take you away.
Where will we go?
Paris?
If I get scarlet fever and die, give Meg my box with green doves on it, and you must have my turquoise ring.
I'll see to that.
I don't want to die. I've never even been kissed. Waited my whole life to be kissed. And what if I miss it?
I tell you what. I promise to kiss you before you die.
I don't think Mommy should leave Father.
needs Marmy. She depends on her.
But what if we send for her and Father gets worse?
How in the name of all that's holy would we pay for the train?
That he profane, not my sanctuaries.
Sanctuaries.
For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Joe, Mr. Lawrence is here.
If we may, I wish my personal physician, Dr. Bangs, to examine the little girl. There's nothing to be done. If I bleed her, it would finish her. Best to send for the mother.
Forgive me. I've already done so. Mrs. March arrives on the train this night.
Vinegar, water, and some rags, Meg, my kit. Let's draw the fever down from her head.
It's all right.
It's all right.
And so our dear Beth came back to us, although the fever had weakened her heart forever. We did not know then that a shadow had fallen. We prepared for another Christmas without Father.
Try each corner, thank you.
No, no! One bow is enough.
Miss Lawrence, thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It happens all the time.
Oh, dear.
Here she comes.
Come on.
What should I do with these flowers?
Now, don't stare over at that. She's been sick.
I'll hide the chairs. Amy, do you like them, Amy?
Quick.
The house is beautiful.
Friends of mine from college, Freddie Vaughn and Averill Watson. They won't bite.
No, don't sit there. Sit
here. Sit here, child. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Here.
Belonged to my little girl. who had to leave us when she was very young. But now, they will make music again.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Play something, Ben.
Shall I?
Engagement, though. 3 or 4 years, John must secure a house before you can marry, and you must do a service to the Union.
John? Marry? You mean that pokey old Mr. Brooke? How did he weasel his way into this family?
Joe. John has been very kind to go visit Father in the hospital every day.
Oh, he's dull as powder. Meg, can't you at least marry someone amusing?
I'm fond of Mr. Brooke. He's a good man. He's kind and serious, and I'm not afraid of being poor.
Marmy, you can't just let her go and marry him.
I'd hardly just go and marry anyone.
I would rather Meg marry for love and be a poor man's wife than marry for riches and lose her self-respect.
So you don't mind that John is poor?
No, but I'd rather he have a house.
Why must we marry at all? Why can't things just stay as they are?
It is only a proposal. Nothing need be decided. Now, girls, let's not spoil the day.
Father? Father!
Merry Christmas, everyone.
What a wonderful Christmas present.
Mother! Oh, Mother, you're home!
Oh. Meg!
Oh, you're more handsome than ever.
Beth, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank God you're well.
Clear the way. Give a man room to breathe.
No! Oh, my wild girl. Well, this could become the fashion.
Watch his
not
arm.
Used
be
to
careful.
This.
Be very
don't
careful now.
Cuddle this soldier
oh, now,
too
Father,
much.
It's time to come.
Oh, Father.
Oh, Anna. God bless you. It's good to see you.
It's good to have you home, Mr.
Oh! Now, let me look at my girl.
Oh, take them and get them a...
The cholera took more men than the rebs, as I understand it, sir.
Agriculture isn't taught, and it should be. It should be required.
Perhaps the freedmen should be given
what
land.
What happened between you and
yeah.
John Grove?
Never you mind.
Isn't it wonderful, John?
Yes, it was wonderful.
Change will come as surely as the seasons and twice as quick. We make our peace with it as best we can, Or as Amy once said when she was still a little girl, we'll all grow up someday. We might as well know what we want.
And stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
So you feel our Amy has talent?
Oh, Miss March excels at drawing, but you know, her landscapes lack emotion. I definitely feel Amy would benefit from further study, but she won't get it around here.
Where do you suggest?
Well, Cape Cod has a fine artist colony, but Europe is the best place.
Teddy! Your houseman said you wouldn't be home till night.
I couldn't wait so long.
Hail the conquering graduate.
Is grandfather exceedingly proud?
Yes, and exceedingly bent on locking me up in one of his offices. Why is it Amy may paint China, and you can scribble away while I must manfully set my music aside?
Why must you?
If I don't, I'd have to defy grandfather.
Yes, and not the whole of society.
I can't go against the old man. When I imagine myself in that life, I can think of only one thing that would make me happy.
Oh, no, Teddy, don't. We have to talk about this reasonably.
I have loved you since the moment I clapped eyes on you. What could be more reasonable than to marry you?
We'd kill each other.
Nonsense.
Oh, neither of us can keep our temper.
I can, unless provoked.
We're both stupidly stubborn, especially you. We'd only quarrel.
I wouldn't.
Oh, you can't even propose without quarreling.
Give you every luxury you've ever been denied. You won't have to write unless you want to. Grandfather wants me to learn the business in England. Can't you see us bashing around London?
What? Oh, Teddy, I'm not fashionable enough for London. You need someone who's elegant and refined. Please don't ask me. Teddy, I'm desperately sorry. No. I do care for you. With all of my heart, you're my dearest friend. I just can't go be a wife.
You say you won't, but you will.
I won't.
One day, you'll meet some man, a good man, and you will love him tremendously. And you will live and die for him.
Please.
You will. Joe. I know you. And I'll be hanged if I stand by and watch.
Joe, are you ill?
She has refused, Laurie.
Well,
I'm sure she can take it back. It's just a misunderstanding.
No. Listen to him. I must get away.
Of course. Aunt March is going to France.
France! That's ideal! Joe, I'd put up with anything to go!
Aunt March has asked me to go.
To Europe? Why Europe?
When? It was decided just today. Well, I am her companion now. She wishes me to study painting abroad and hopes I might make a good match there.
Oh.
But perhaps she wouldn't mind if you stayed at Plumfield while we are gone.
Well, of course Aunt March prefers Amy over me. Why shouldn't she? I'm ugly and awkward, and I always say the wrong things. I fly around throwing away perfectly good marriage proposals. I love our home, but I'm just so fitful, and I can't stand being here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mormy. It's just something really wrong with me. I want to change, but I can't, and I just know I'll never fit in anywhere.
Joe, you have so many extraordinary gifts. How can you expect to lead an ordinary life? You're ready to go out and find a good use for your talent. Although I don't know what I shall do about my Joe. Go and embrace your liberty and see what wonderful things come of it.
Laurie sought his refuge in London and abroad. Marmy helped me find a place in the great city of New York, and so I stepped over the divide between childhood and all that lay beyond.
Mrs. Kirk?
Josephine!
Oh, yes, how do you do?
Kitty, Minnie! This is Miss March. What? Her father was Colonel March. He knew your papa.
Down, Milward Ballas.
It was cold.
Watch your feet,
Mr. Costigan.
Get it straight.
Oh, do come in, my dear.
Oh, you're making that up.
Dear Beth, Marmy's friend, Mrs. Kirk, has made me feel quite at home. My little students, Kitty and Minnie, are dear girls. How curious to grow up in a busy boarding house with no father and your own mother, the innkeeper. I felt bold on leaving Concord, but I confess I find New York rough and strange, and myself strange in it.
Thank you kindly, Professor.
Mrs. Kirk believes that I am here for a brief interlude of sensational experience before succumbing to a matrimonial fate. And while there is surely no lack of sensational experience of every kind available in such a city, I hope, though I've had no luck yet, that any experience I gain here will be strictly literary, and that all events of a romantic or sensational nature will be entirely confined to the page.
Our subscribers are not interested in sentiment and fairy stories, miss.
They're not fairy stories.
Try one of the ladies' magazines.
I don't know.
You know that when first I saw you, I thought, ah, she is a writer.
What made you think so? Oh.
Yes, I know many writers. In Berlin, I was professor at the university. Here, I am just a humble tutor, I'm afraid. Oh, please, sit down.
Thank you.
You're far from home, Miss March. Do you miss your family?
Oh, very much. My sisters especially. And Laurie.
She is your sister?
Oh, no, he's a friend.
You like your coffee?
Oh, it's just very, very strong. I like it. Oh, you have quite a library. Did you bring all these books from Germany?
A few of them.
May I?
Of course. Most of these I could not bear to leave behind. I sold everything that I want to get my passage to come here, but my books, never.
Oh, Shakespeare. Some books are so familiar. Reading them is like being home again. Will you be returning to Berlin, Professor Bear?
Friedrich. Call me Friedrich.
Friedrich.
No. Sadly, the fatherland of Goethe and Schiller is no more.
Oh, I adore Goethe. My father used to read me all the German poets when I was a child.
Really, that is most surprising.
Well, my mother and father were part of a rather unusual circle in Concord. Do you know the word transcendentalist?
But this is German romantic philosophy. We throw off all our constraints and we come to know ourselves through insight and experience. But it goes out of fashion now.
Well, not in the March family, I'm afraid. It's just that with all of this transcendence comes much emphasis on perfecting oneself.
Ah, this gives you a problem.
I'm hopelessly flawed.
If only we could transcend ourselves without perfection. Like your poet Walt Whitman, who rides up and down the streets of Broadway all day shouting poetry against the roar of the carts. Keep your silent woods, O nature.
Your quiet places by the river, but by the woods. Give me the streets of Manhattan.
I think we are all hopelessly flawed.
He is as poor as one might imagine an itinerant philosopher to be. Yet as the weeks go by, I see that he is unfailingly generous to all of us who live in the house. I am grateful to have a friend.
system our nation was founded on. Come now, it was nothing short of a betrayal of our country's ideals.
Our country's ideals?
A constitution that denies the basic rights of citizenship to women and black people?
They just passed the 15th Amendment, Jacob. They can vote.
Black men can vote, Charles.
A lady has no need of suffrage if she has a husband.
No, no.
You don't take one?
Only medicinally.
But pretend that you've got a cold.
I agree.
But if women are a moral force, shouldn't they have the right to govern and preach and testify in court?
What is it, Miss March?
I find it poor logic to say that because women are good, women should vote. Men do not vote because they are good, they vote because they are male. And women should vote not because they are angels and men are animals, but because we are human beings and citizens of this country.
You should have been a lawyer, Miss March.
I should have been a great many things, Mr. Mayor. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, please. Please. Come in.
I have some good news. A newspaper has published two of my stories, and they wish to see more.
This is wonderful. The Daily Volcano. The Sinner's Corpse by Joseph March. Lunatics. Vampires. This interests you?
People like thrilling stories, Friedrich. This is what the newspapers want.
Yes. Yes, I suppose. I suppose that is true.
Well, we'll buy a new coat for Beth, and I'm sure she'll be grateful to have it.
Joe. I do not want to be your teacher. No, understand me. I am saying only that you should please yourself. My opinion is of no importance. Do you forgive me?
Of course.
Then I make a gift, an experience. Do you like the opera?
Oh, I do. I mean, I think I do. We don't seem to get a lot of opera in Concord. I don't have an opera dress.
You will be perfect. Where we are sitting, we shall not be so formal. A goddess. She has made a promise never to love. If she breaks her vow, all will be lost. Oh, look. Trouble is coming.
What's going to happen?
The inevitable. Leila's soul is opening. She is drawn to an idea. He says, love has a fatal power. Ravished soul.
your beloved voice. Your heart understood mine.
We heard you were in Greece or somewhere.
Laurie! Come, come.
You've been much occupied with business, I'm sure.
I'm not pursuing business just now. Grandfather agreed I should concentrate on my music for a while.
You know Fred Vaughan?
Freddie.
Good day, Lawrence.
Yes. I see you've taken up a passion for art, Freddie. Aunt March, you look splendid.
I cannot say the same for you, my boy. Amy, dear. Will you be long? I must retire.
Yes, Aunt March. Do come see us.
Are they engaged?
Not yet.
Friedrich, how long would it take strychnine to dissolve in brandy? Oh, about 8 minutes. And is a dagger worn at the waist, or is that a saber?
I think that in these novels, the dagger is usually concealed in the boot by a man with a dark mustache.
Oh, Laurie, how lovely.
It isn't what it should be, but you have improved it.
Please don't. I liked you much better when you were blunt. Natural.
It did not serve me well.
I find you changed. In fact, I despise you. You laze about spending your family's money and courting women. You aren't serious about music.
My compositions are like your paintings. Mediocre copies of another man's genius.
Then why don't you go to Grandfather in London and make yourself useful?
I should. Why don't you reform me?
Someone more practical than mine.
I do not love Fred Vaughan.
Fred Vaughan is stable and well-mannered
and has 40,000 a year.
I've always known I would not marry a pauper.
expect a proposal any day.
You'll regret it. I'll regret it. I'm reminded of a promise. Didn't I say I would kiss you before you die?
Do you hear from Jo? She has befriended a German professor.
Yes, well, no doubt he's showing her the ways of the world.
I do not wish to be courted by someone who is still in love with my sister.
I'm not in love with Jo.
Then how do you explain your jealousy?
I envy her happiness. I envy his happiness. I envy John Brooke for marrying Meg. I hate Fred Vaughn. If Beth had a lover, I would despise him too. Just as you have always known you would never marry a pauper. I have always known I should be part of the March family.
I do not wish to be loved for my family.
Any more than Fred Vaughn wishes to be loved for his $40,000 a year. It is you I want, and not your family. I have gone to London to make myself worthy of you. Please, do not do anything we shall regret.
Monsieur Von Mansell, may I show him in?
Friedrich, did you read it?
Yes. It's well written, Joe. In the first novel, what a great accomplishment.
Well, I'm going to be showing it to your publisher friend, Mr. Fields, today. He liked The Sinner's Corpse. What is it?
Mr. Fields is a good man. He will give you an honest opinion.
Oh, I see. What is your honest opinion?
I'm a professor of philosophy, Joe.
No, I'd really like to know what you think.
You should be writing from life, from the depths of your soul. There is nothing in here of the woman that I am privileged to know.
Friedrich, this is what I write. My apologies if it fails to live up to your high standards.
Joe. There is more to you than this, if you have the courage to write it.
Speaks of such things. Oh, wonderful. How is Beth?
You will find her much altered.
Army.
she wouldn't let us send for you sooner. The doctor has been here a number of times, but it's beyond all of us, and I think... I think she's been waiting for you.
Drink up all this good broth. I'm glad you're home. So am I.
Mr. Pickwick changed color. Ah, said Mr. Wardle. Well, that's important. There's nothing suspicious as then, I suppose.
I feel stronger with you close by.
I'm gonna get you better yet.
If God wants me with him, there is none who will stop him. I don't mind. I was never like the rest of you, making plans about the great things I'd do. I never saw myself as anything much. Not a great writer like you.
Pet, not a great writer.
But he will be. Oh, Joe, I've missed you so. Why does everyone want to go away? I love being home. But I don't like being left behind. Now I'm the one going ahead. I am not afraid. I can be brave like you. But I know I shall be homesick for you. Even in heaven.
No. I won't let you go.
Oh, my Joe.
Thank you. Much is bedridden and would not survive a sea voyage. Amy must bide her time and return later. It's just as well.
Will we never all be together again?
Morning. Thank you, sir.
Dearest Laurie, you may not have heard our sad news of Beth.
Meg has entered her confinement, and poor Amy must stay in Vevey with Aunt Marge.
This is far too great a sorrow to bear alone. Please come home to us, Teddy dear. Your faithful, Joe.
The real charm of it lay in Beth's happy face as she leaned over the new piano and lovingly touched the beautiful black and white keys.
During the next few minutes, the rumor circulated that Amy March had got 24 delicious lines.
I told you they dressed me up, but I didn't tell you that they powdered and squeezed and made me look a fashion plate.
As she spoke, Jo took off her bonnet. A general outcry arose, for all her abundant hair was cut short.
Jo, how could you? You're one beauty.
Nothing's going to change, Jo.
Surprise!
John, you have a daughter.
And a son.
Oh, Mommy, I can't believe you did this 4 times.
Yes, but never 2 at once, my darling.
He's gonna look just like his papa when he grows up.
Yes, he does look like John.
Have you heard from the professor?
No.
No. We did not part well.
Well, John and I don't always agree, but then we mend it.
Could that be?
Absolutely.
Covered in flour, oh dear. Oh, come in.
No, Joe, not yet. May I tell you something without the others? You're my dear friend. I'm glad you shall be the first to know.
What?
May I present my wife?
Joe. Oh, oh my.
Lace. Oh.
I went to Europe to paint the great cathedrals, but I couldn't get our home out of my mind.
Look how Amy has captured Orchard House. Look.
Lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful. Not as beautiful as I wanted, but I am still learning. Dear little angel. Joe, you must tell me the truth as a sister. Is a relation stronger than marriage? Do you mind at all? Oh, no. I was surprised. Mind you, I had it on good authority that our Teddy would never love another. And now he's gone and gotten married.
It's good to hear you call me Teddy again.
at last we're all family, as we always should have been. You must promise me that you will always live close by. I couldn't bear losing another sister.
Joe, it's so gloomy and chilly.
One would require an income just for the cold to heat this place. What could the dear old girl have been thinking?
Most likely she felt sorry for me. Decrepit, homeless spinster.
Joe.
Oh, poor aunt. Living here all those years alone in this useless old house.
Yes, her blessings became a burden because she couldn't share them. Wouldn't this have made a wonderful school?
A school?
What a challenge that would be.
Was one of Miss Amy's European friends coming with a wedding gift. I said, Miss March and Mr. Laurie are living next door.
Oh, Hannah, you didn't.
Then he said he had a train to catch.
I didn't hear from you. Well, I thought you hated it.
Oh, no, no. Reading your book was like opening a window into your heart. James Fields took it out of my hands, and he would not give it back to me. I said, such news I have to give to her myself. Well, it was a silly impulse.
No, no, not silly at all. It's so good to see you. Come and meet my family.
No, thank you, but I have to catch the train. I am going to the West. My ship leaves from Boston tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Yes, the schools in the West are young. They need professors, and they are not so concerned about the accent.
I don't mind it either. You see, my aunt left me Plumfield. It isn't a field, it's a house, actually, a rather large house. And it isn't really good for anything except a school. And I want a good school, one that would be open to anyone who wanted to learn. And, well, I'd be needing someone who knows how to teach. Is there nothing I might say to keep you here?
I confess that I was hoping that I might have a reason to stay, but congratulations on the celebration of your marriage.
Oh, no! No! No, that's Amy. It's my sister, Amy, and Laurie, actually. No, I'm not married. Please don't go so far away.
Joe, such a little name for
such a person. Will you have me?
With all of my heart.
But I have nothing to give you. My hands are empty.
Not empty now.